You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Duarte Geraldino, and we have another story from the education world for you now. This one's an ongoing labor dispute in Central California.
Up, up, up with the people, down, down, down with the UC. Up, up, up with the people, down, down, down with the UC. Up, up, up with the people, down, down.
That's the sound of protesters on the University of California at Santa Cruz campus demonstrating Monday for higher graduate student wages. Graduate students at the university have been on strike for roughly 3 months now. They want pay increases they say are necessary to meet the cost of living in the Santa Cruz area. Last Friday, the university responded to the strike, firing dozens of graduate students.
When we tell them that we're hungry and we're homeless and that we can't survive on what they're paying us and that something needs to change, they take this authoritarian move, and it's shameful. It's shameful for the university, and they can't get away with it.
She's Veronica Hamilton.
I'm a third-year PhD student in social psychology, and I am the unit chair for the Santa Cruz unit of the UAW 2865, the UC Student Workers Union.
Like many of her fellow graduate students, Veronica is struggling to get by on what the university pays her.
My take-home income is about $2,100 per month, and my current rent is $1,800 a month. I live in this small cabin that's about 40 minutes away from campus, and I share it with my partner. The cabin, like many places in Santa Cruz, is sort of substandard living. And the place that we're living now, we only just moved into because we lost our last housing. And I consider myself lucky. There are so many other people who are paying most of their income to live in a place with toxic mold.
For Veronica, the strike is about pressing financial issues that extend beyond UC Santa Cruz to learning institutions across the USA.
If they want to diversify higher education, then they need to increase resources in kind. Because if you get more working class students, more students from backgrounds of racialized capitalism, you can't just keep the resources the same or worse than when this field or when higher education was dominated by those who have trust funds. It's time to change our priorities, and it's time to support graduate students.
Vimal Patel is with us right now. Vimal is a reporter who focuses on social mobility for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and he's been covering this strike from Santa Cruz this week. Vimal, thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
I'm glad to be here.
So last Friday, the university fired dozens of graduate students. What effect did that decision have on the protests that you've seen this week?
The protests have been as intense, if not even more so, than they have been in recent weeks. The students definitely seem energized in light of Friday's news, and they're getting a lot of national attention, too. Bernie Sanders slammed the decision in a tweet. A GoFundMe page that was set up, I think, is up to about $250,000 in support. The energy around the strike hasn't been quelled by the intent to dismiss the students that was announced on Friday.
So $250,000 GoFundMe page in order to fight this. How did the university even justify firing these students?
So from the university's vantage, the students are guilty of insubordination here. They're, as part of the strike, they're withholding undergraduate grades. Janet Napolitano last month had sent a letter ordering them to end the strike and to turn in grades. So from what the university says is these students have been warned, and they also note that they're not kicking them out of the university. They're just not allowing them to have teaching appointments in the spring. But there's a lot of complications that come with that. Students' financial aid is often tied to whether they have a teaching appointment. So it would definitely be a difficult financial burden that would be placed on the students if they're not allowed to have a teaching assistantship in the spring.
And we know Janet Napolitano, who you just mentioned, is the current president of the University of California system. She's on her way out later this year. So these students are unionized, but this is a wildcat strike, right? Meaning the strike was not officially sanctioned by the union leadership. What impact, if any, is that having on the strike?
That's correct, that the union can't support this strike, even though they may be sympathetic to the needs of students. But it's also a point that the university keeps stressing, that they say that they, in fact, are supporting collective bargaining right now by honoring the contract that already exists. They're 2 years into a four-year collective bargaining contract. And they say that negotiating with Wildcat strikers is something they simply just will not do.
So they won't even do that. Incidentally, there's all so much talk about student debt. What role does soaring student debt play in some of the graduate student labor efforts that we've seen recently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is a key thread that's the backdrop of all of this. Student loan debt in just the last 15 years, so going back just a few years before the Great Recession, was $250 billion federal student loan debt. In just 15 years, that has increased sixfold to more than $1.5 trillion. It surpassed credit card debt. It surpassed car loan debt. It surpassed all forms of debt aside from mortgage debt. So student loan debt is sort of the one key thread running throughout all of this. There's almost an expectation that if you don't come from a independently wealthy background, there's almost an expectation that you have to go into debt to finance your graduate degree.
Sad reality. Vimal Patel is a reporter focusing on social mobility for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Thanks so much, Vimal.
Thank you for having me.
And we reached out to the University of Santa Cruz for a comment on this story. You can read part of their response online at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.